Could not have picked a better song for tonight. That's great. I love that song. Can you turn with me to Psalm 143? You know, I feel bad in a way because every time I get up here, I'm in the Psalms, but there's just nothing I can connect with more than the Psalms. Psalm 143. I'd like to call tonight the cry of the struggling. Before I do that, let's just pray. Father, you hear our every thought. You know our every need. And you care. And maybe I sound like a broken record, Lord, but you do. And I pray that you'd give me strength tonight as I share from your word. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 143 is a prayer. It's a prayer for those who are struggling. It's split right down the middle. 1-6 tells you what David, why he wants to pray, why he's feeling this way. And verses 7-12 are going to give you his prayers. It's a psalm or a prayer for God's help. So let's jump in. Verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness. You know, often it's easy to feel distant from God, and if I'm being honest, I've felt that way for a long time, probably a couple of years, off and on. And God is still there. God always is faithful to listen. And he says, in your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness. You know, it's not about us. It's about God being faithful. And we can depend on that for when we want to hear from him. In verse 2, he says, do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight, no one living is righteous. Now, I get from this verse that maybe the background to why David is writing this is because he could have struggled with some sin at the time. But I want to point out that this is applicable not just to someone who is suffering from a known cause, but also from an unknown cause. I'll make that clear later on. No one is righteous. No, not one. David knows that. And there is something to be said about personal righteousness. No one is perfect. No one is righteous in God's eyes, but we know that in Christ we are righteous. And then he says, I want to point out here, he talks about being your servant. And I love that word. It's like, I'll just go to here. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 84 and verse 10. I think this explains it very well. It's a beautiful verse. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know, I would rather be the lowliest person as long as I'm with God. As long as I'm with him in your presence. Because sin is death. And I know it's one thing to say that, because it's true. But when you experience it, it is death. And so he says, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness, like those who have been long dead. He is probably talking about a physical enemy, but we can also use the enemy as in the devil. We've got many enemies. We've got the flesh, the world, the devil. And I'm sure David suffered from all those as well. And he says, he has crushed my life to the ground. You know, yes, we're righteous. We're up here. But sometimes we feel like we're down here. And he says, the enemy has made me to dwell in darkness. He's basically saying, I'm in a grave. I'm in a coffin. I feel like I'm dead and I'm in the ground. Do you ever feel like that? Yes, we're saved. Yes, we have joy everlasting, but sometimes it's just not there. Verse 4, therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. You know, this is about life and death, not in the human existence, not in eternal damnation, not in judicial righteousness, but this is about life and death in the human experience. You know, what are we experiencing now on this earth? And it's not always reflective of what we have in heaven. And feeling overwhelmed and stressed is a natural response. You know, sometimes doubts arise. If I was really saved, I wouldn't feel this way. If I had the Spirit of God, I wouldn't struggle. And so David says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. So he goes back and he remembers the past, you know, times when God felt the closest. And I've done this too. It's, and on one hand, it's encouraging because it reminds you that God is with you, you know. But at the same time, there's a longing for the past, a longing when God, when you could just almost tangibly feel his presence. And he says in verse 6, I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. And that reminds me about Elijah, you know. He was prophesying against Israel, I think, three and a half years. And it was not supposed to rain in those 3.5 years. Can you imagine how much that ground wanted water? How much the people wanted water? And David's basically saying, God, I need you more than anything, more than life itself. And I think this is the proper response to grief. You know, it's easy to go one way and say, well, I'm just going to go back to the world. I'm just going to drink. I'm just going to eat. I'm just going to try and find happiness in something else. But it has to take you back to God. Our help comes from God. Selah. I never skip over that word because it does have significance. It marks a break in the psalm. It's a pause to meditate and think about what you've read. And before we get into his prayer section, I'd just like to say an aside about prayer. As much as God cares for our physical health, and he does, you know, the majority of the prayers in the Bible are not about physical health. And I want to say this gently too, but there is so much more to pray for. And I'm a huge advocate of praying Scripture. And you'll see, there's lots of prayers in Scripture that we can pray back to God. Spiritual prayers. And so, I've broken down the next 6 verses into 8 supplications. You could probably do more or less if you wanted. But I chose 8. And so this is what David prays. Verse 7. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do you think it should say, answer me slowly? I wish sometimes that God answered more quickly. But that's hard. He says speedily, please, God, come and help me. God doesn't answer quickly, and he has his reasons for that. I've struggled with depression in the past. And I've waited a long time to get back to a place where I felt like God was closest. But God is always telling me, just wait. You know? Just wait. Because God has a perfect plan. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. I've been seeing this phrase everywhere in the Bible. God's face. Do not hide your face from me. It just speaks so nicely of God's presence. Like seeing God face to face. You're right there with God. And man, that is my prayer. God, I want to be right there. I want to be face to face with you. Lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Again, he's not talking about going to hell. Like the Hebrew word hell is Sheol in the Hebrew. It's not necessarily a place of judgment, just the place of the dead, the grave. He's saying, I don't want to be down there. I want to be up here with you where I should be. And when God doesn't respond, it's like he's hiding again. It's like he's hiding his face. And I think David captures this so well. It's just a poetic description of a lack of the life we know we have. So verse 8, he says, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. You know, sometimes when you have depression, getting up in the morning is the hardest thing you ever do. Man, because you just want to stay in that bed. And so David says, in the morning. And I think, man, that's when I need it most. As soon as I wake up, because when I'm sleeping, I don't have to think about anything. I don't have to think about the hard parts of life. But God, if I have you in the morning, I can get through the day. Loving kindness when I need it most. When you need it most. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. You know, I think David knows. David has the law. I think he knows the way he should walk. But he wants to know. He wants to have an intimate knowledge. He wants to live it out. So he lifts up his soul. He says, God, this is where I'm at. You know, here I am, and I leave it with you. And man, that's what we need to do. That's where we need to go. Verse 9, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. In you I run to you for safety. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. it's so hard to say, not my will, sometimes. Even though you feel like, God, I need you right now, and I need you to do this, and I need you to do that. God says, no, wait. You don't know what I know. And it's hard to do, but God is worthy. God is worthy of your worship. He says, your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And I think I can see David here playing on the theme of being dead again. But revive me, like resurrect me, like lift me up out of the grave, because I need you. I need you to be with me again like you used to be. And God's testimony is the reason he's praying, for your righteousness' sake. You know, not just because I want to feel good, because I want to feel better. No, I want to be close to you again because my testimony depends on it. You know? What people think of you, God, is dependent on how I live my life, and without you, I can't live my life the way I should. And so verse 12, he says, in your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. Lord, please give me power over the flesh, over the sin in my life, over the devil, over just the effects of death and sin in my life, for I am your servant. The servant of God, not to serve myself, but to serve God. So just some takeaways that I left with this, and I'll leave them with you. You know, emptiness, grief, loneliness, sadness, pain, they're all real emotions. God-given emotions. Believers are not just happy all the time, like that song goes. That's okay. And God leaves room for that. David is one example. Paul, Elijah, you know, after his victory on Mount Carmel, Elijah comes down from the mountain and he goes into the wilderness. Just when you think, man, God is so close, I can see fire coming down from heaven, and I know he's with me. He goes into the wilderness, and he's basically depressed. He hides in a cave. He says, oh, that I would just die. God would take my life from me. But man, Elijah's such an encouragement to me. You know, I think it says somewhere about Elijah, who was a natural, something that had a nature just like ours, you know. As many works, wonderful works as Elijah did, he was just a man. But, and this is the point of what I want to say. If you are willing, God can use all those things, your brokenness, as a powerful tool. A powerful tool to draw you to himself. You know, like I said, you can go one way. Or you can let, and you have to let. You have to let these things drive you to God and say, God, you are the greatest thing in my life. And to know you and to be in your presence, in my opinion, at least in this season of my life, that is the most valuable thing after being saved. Just to be with God and to know him. I'll close with the words of this song I love by Keith Green. And it's number 53. It's actually in the Blue Book. I think consolidate what I'm feeling tonight and what I want to tell you. You don't have to open, just listen. Oh Lord, you are beautiful. Your face is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Oh Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear. Oh Lord, you are wonderful. Your touch is all I need. And when your hand is on this child, your healing I receive. Let's pray.